Lord Jesus give you his peace as we come out of the great solemnity of the Most Holy Trinity. We're given quite a disturbing account in the Old Testament from 1 Kings about Naboth and his vineyard. And he is really kind of tried by Ahab and Jezebel with their conspiracy to take it from him. It's his ancestral heritage, and we have this, "I will, far be it from me to give you my ancestral heritage." And in the gospel reading today, we have the new law of meekness, basically, that our Lord proposes, not an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, as it was in the old dispensation, but a much higher bar. I'd like to see this time from June 13th, St. Anthony of Padua, to June 21st, St. Aloysius Gonzaga, of something of a novena of purity, or novena for purity, with St. Anthony of Padua, great purity of speech, even his tongue being incorrupt, and with St. Aloysius Gonzaga being very notable for his purity of vision. And so a couple of those themes may be touching on over the next couple of days, and this first one would be regarding purity of speech. Our Lord says not to resist evil. This is not an endorsement for the philosophy of pacifism. Certainly it is oftentimes of counsel. It's, at times it can be a precept, in other words, obligatory. For example, Father Lapide notes that, you know, if there's a missionary he cites a couple of examples in Japan back in the days of the missionary work there, that if someone, you know, knows that this is what the Christians believe and then tests you and strikes you on one cheek, it can be scandalous, of course, if you don't act according to your beliefs, and therefore it's obligatory to do such a thing. And nevertheless, our Lord's teachings are of perfection, and so we should take them certainly to heart and try to delve more deeply into their meaning. There's St. Augustine will look at these three teachings that follow, both with the being struck on the cheek and then the two garments that are being taken away, basically, and then also this walking as a spiritual sense. He says that they signify mostly the dispositions of the soul. And so maybe trying to unearth some of that import that we can take them a bit more deeply into our own lives and live by them. The name Naboth might have a couple different meanings, one of which was fruits and one other is words and prophecies. And so with this first incidence of what our Lord says, if someone strike you on the right jaw, basically, it's the right jawbone. It's, you might hear of like the word in the Greek gets at that aspect. And our Lord perfectly fulfills this as he is in trial before the high priest. And he answers, you know, "They've heard my teaching, you ask them." The guard, the temple guard, strikes him. Is that how you answer the high priest? And so behind this striking of the jaw, we want to see, in a spiritual sense, the force of contradiction, of the force of one will that is speaking against the other, really, at times, speaking against the very person. And so with that, with this being struck on the one cheek, we want to see something of an intellectual mortification. And in the spiritual life, of course, there's outright contradiction. There's also other forms of contradiction, too, that we can kind of bring to light. But this is St. Francis de Sales, whose teachings are brilliant, especially with this virtue of meekness. And he speaks about this with contradiction, of avoiding it. "It is a matter of great importance to make our conversation agreeable. To do so, it is necessary to appear humble, patient, respectful, cordial, yielding in all lawful things and to all. Above all, we must avoid contradicting the opinion of anyone." That's a pretty high bar. "Unless there should be an evident necessity for it. In that case," this is now fraternal correction, "in that case, it should be done with all possible mildness and with the greatest tact, without outraging the feelings of the other party." At times, it's very necessary to take time and to pray before making this approach. "In this way, contests will be avoided which produce only bitterness, and which ordinarily spring rather from attachment to our own opinion," you got these two clashing of swords, right? These two opinions, "than from love for truth." The latter, love for truth, would be the necessary fraternal correction. "Believe me, that as there are no dispositions more inimical to society than those which are given to contradiction. That's his statement. There are no dispositions more inimical to society than those that are given to contradiction. Sometimes you get that. The interior of the person is just corrosive, and then anything that's out there is going to really be dissolved in a contradiction. But then he makes this. So there is not a person more generally loved than he who contradicts no one. And that, of course, does not include this exception of fraternal correction, which is very necessary. And so we take this teaching to heart, and also in the context of the gospel, it's in the suffering of the contradiction that we want to be very proficient at. And even we can say, especially as we are now in formation, that the Lord will try us in this. And so there can be outright contradiction, in which we must bear with great patience. But there can also be other forms of contradiction, of really being condescended towards, right? Being belittled in speech, talked down to. And that also God will allow. And we also want to take it as a great pledge for perfection, that the Lord is drawing us to his life. And there's I remember one time a comedian that's talking about, you know, I kept a diary once when I was very young, in fact, when I was born. He says, day one, still tired from the move. And day two, everyone talks to me like I'm an idiot. Well, it's that second one with, at times, even people speaking, and really kind of missing you as person. And that, we want to say, is a specific invitation to the passion of Jesus and his interior trials, not to miss it, and not to reject it, because that's a very important interior cross that we should be passed through. The second teaching that our Lord has is about garments. And there's two garments, and it's the two garments that we see in John 19 as well. It's the inner garment, which is called the tunic or the chiton, and it's the outer garment, which is sometimes called the cloak or the hamation in the Greek. And those two things are, the first one, the tunic, is put on trial for. And do not resist one if someone puts you on trial for your tunic. And that tunic, we can say, is a lot in Scripture. It's like that ancestral inheritance that Naboth mentions. It's what one has coming to them, perhaps, for their good works. Oftentimes in sacred Scripture, it's that which is given to the child by the father. For example, Joseph's tunic, which became a source of envy for the brothers. And in fact, they eventually took it, ripped it up, dipped it in blood, and there's your son. So at this, in this spiritual aspect, in bearing that, in bearing those that would reject our good and really counter it. And if anyone does such a thing, and bearing with that, and also giving them this outer garment, which is basically laying down one's life for the good of the other, one's even temporal goods, everything. The last incident in, or the what our Lord says, is that anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with them too. These are three things, by the way, that Naboth goes through. One, he's contradicted, he's accused. Naboth has cursed God and king. He didn't. Then he's led out, certainly a place he didn't want to go, and this is kind of the being forced out. And then he's laying down his life. With this last one, we have a teaching comes to us from a wonderful little book called The Message of Divine Mercy to Little Souls and the Visionary Marguerite. Our Lord says, I want you to make this your exact spiritual itinerary, that when anyone should impose their will on you, you make it your own. Is anything that's not sinful. In other words, take the will of the other and run with it. And that's what we have with this last counsel of our Lord. Anyone should force you to go 1 mile, go with them too. And that's supererogation, that's going above and beyond, which is greatly meritorious. So with the teachings of our Lord, we realize that everything in his divine providence is organized and arranged for our good, all things for the good for those who love God. And so with that, with great fortitude, we put on the wisdom of the cross.